hold out when my way hold out when my way I'm gonna hold out. Do I have anybody else in the building that's gonna hold out? Until my change. I'm gonna wait until my change comes. That's what Job said. No matter what he was going through, he said, I'm gonna wait until my change comes. So if you're here today and you're like Job, you're gonna wait. I don't care what's going on around you. I don't care what the circumstances may look like. But I've learned how to wait on God. Because God will turn it around. And we know. See, there's some things you got to know. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Can I get a witness? So look at somebody and tell them, just hold on. Your change will come. Hallelujah. I believe that today. I believe that today. Yeah. Let us pray. Father God, we love you today. We give you glory. We give you honor. For you are God all by yourself. Beside thee, there is none other. You are the great God, Jehovah. You sit high and you look low. Father God, we come now bowing to your greatness. That when we open up our mouth, you speak through us, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father God, you get the glory out of our lives and everything that we do. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that you may increase. Now, Lord, rise up, King Jesus, and show yourself strong. Father God, open up our ears that we may hear. Open up our hearts that we may receive. Open up our spirits so that your will, not our will, but your will be done in our lives. Forgive us of our sins, Father God, in the name of Jesus. For you said if we confess our sins, you'll be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do it now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We give you glory and we give you praise in everything that we do. We lift up your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen. Let church say amen again. Can church say one more time? Amen. 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 Praise God for all of you who came out today to the house of God. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Anybody still rejoicing? Even though there's some clouds in the sky, even though there's a few raindrops that are falling. But how many of you know we still need the rain? Amen. We still need the rain. Amen. It might inconvenience you, might get you a little wet. But you get wet every morning anyway when you take a shower. I hope you do. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So here we are today to give God glory and to give him praise. And we praise God for who he is and what he is doing in our lives. Even in a time like this, God is still worthy to be praised. Amen. I just want to read a couple of scriptures. You've heard the scripture reading by Brother Mike and Sister Tawana. You guys are doing fantastic jobs reading the scriptures in the morning. Amen. Praise God for y'all willingness to volunteer to read the scriptures in the morning. You heard the scripture reading, but I just want to pull out just two particular scriptures out of the total scripture reading. And I'm going to read those for you this morning. First one is James chapter 4, verse 8. Amen. Now I want you to listen carefully to what it says here. Draw near to God. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, draw near to God. Yeah. Draw near to God. And guess what? He will draw near to you. So quit thinking that God is so far away. Because if you start going towards God, you start making God your destination. You start making God your goal. You start making God part of your life. Guess what? He's going to be coming towards you the same way. But then after that, it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Then we jump to Psalms 24, verse 3 and 4. Who may ascend the mountains of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not applied to, who has not appealed to what is false, and who has not sworn deceitfully. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I just want to talk about wash your hands. Tell somebody, wash your hands. Wash your hands. Amen. Amen. That's our topic. That's the subject today. Wash your hands. Tell somebody one more time, wash your hands. Yeah. In the midst of this COVID-19 outbreak, amen, the number one piece of advice I've heard more than anything else is this: wash your hands. Amen. I'm sure you've heard this again and again over and over in the last 6 months, to wash your hands. As a matter of fact, one doctor said, fall in love with your hands. Make sure they stay clean in everything that you do. And don't put them in your face. But make sure they stay clean. How many of y'all got sanitizer? Amen. We got it outside in the lobby in the hallway. We got bottles there. I got bottle up here. I got bottles back there. I got sanitizer all over the church. Why? To keep our hands clean. Amen. The whole country is just crazy about washing their hands right now, which I guess is a good thing. Amen. But apparently it isn't enough to simply tell people to wash their hands. Oh, no. Public bathrooms, news sites, social media have been bombarding us with visual aids, charts, and instructions on how to properly wash our hands. Like you didn't learn that in kindergarten. Amen. So much so, the thing I found most entertaining is that experts now recommend washing your hand for at least 20 seconds. What's the magic deal in 20 seconds? I don't know. And there has been a whole lot of hosts who have recommended songs for you to sing to make sure you keep them clean under the water for 20 seconds. They tell you to do the alphabets. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You get it. They even say, sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Or Mary had a little. Row, row, row. Anything to get your mind occupied enough that while you are washing your hands, you do it for at least 20 seconds. Of course, it don't matter what song you sing as long as your hands get clean, right? This isn't the first time we've been reminded to wash our hands either. It seems like every flu and cold season, every time there's a viral threat, the media and the health officials and even the president go on national TV to remind us to wash our hands. It's such a simple, common sense thing to do, but it really does help stop the spread of germs and bacteria. Tell somebody one more time, wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
But did you know? Did you know? Did you know? The Bible also tells us to wash our hands. Amen. Given our nation's current obsession with hand washing, I thought it might be enlightening to see what the scripture says about washing our hands. Now you might be able to find more instances or examples, but as far as today, I just want to focus on three different reasons that people wash their hands in scripture. Number one, sanitation. Separation. Sanctification. Amen. This morning, we'll take a look at varieties of Bible verses about washing your hands and what they mean for us today. Of course, one reason people wash their hands in scripture was for sanitation purposes. Sanitation, which means cleanliness. Amen. Personal hygiene. Disinfection. There are actually several places in the Old Testament where God commanded his people to wash their hands. Amen. Most of the times it was symbolic or ritualistic in nature, but there are a few times when God instructed his people to wash their hands for sanitary reasons. One example is found buried in the book of Leviticus. Now, there are several chapters dedicated to dealing with potential infectious diseases, including skin diseases like leprosy and unusual body discharges. God gave the Israelites several specific instructions for preventing the spread of these potential dangerous diseases, including washing their hands. The Bible says, anyone the man with a discharge touches without rinsing his hands with water must wash their clothes and bathe with water, and they will be unclean till evening. Being ceremonially unclean, by the way, means that the person wasn't supposed to touch or have contact with anyone else and thus risk spreading the disease or the infection. In fact, the Bible also says as long as the serious disease lasts, they will be ceremonially unclean. They must live in isolation in their place outside the camp. Y'all get that? This Old Testament. This Old Testament. I don't know about you, but I found this fascinating. Centuries, even before scientists discovered germs and bacteria and microbes, God was instructing his people to wash their hands and quarantine themselves. The Israelites were practicing social distancing long before we knew what social distancing was. Additionally, when a person was healed or their infections cleared up, God instructed them, he shall then wash his clothes and bathe his body in running water and will become clean. It's interesting that God specified in this scripture, running water. I come to discover that until the 1800s, doctors used to wash their hands in a basin of still water, leaving invisible germs that resulted in countless deaths. Because when they washed their hands in still water, they still pull their hands out, and the water that was still in there got the bacteria still on their hands, so they just bringing up bad germs again. We know now to wash our hands under running water. Now you get it, right? You wash your hands in running water so that while the water is running, it runs away the bacteria and the germs. Amen. Perhaps this is another example of scientific know-how that God already knew for us to figure out and discover. Amen. Of course, God never gave the Israelites charts, illustrations. Amen. Like we got today, every day we see charts, illustration, how much the disease done spread, how many people done caught it, how many people are spiked areas. We got all this stuff showing us, all this stuff. But if we just obey God's word, it's already here. It's right here. It's right here. It's right here. God understood something about dealing with diseases that we're still trying to get a handle on. The point is, if God was instructing the Israelites on hand washing and social distancing thousands of years before we understood the reason behind it, then clearly God knows more than we do. And he's already looking out for us. God knows the outcome of COVID-19. He knows what's going to happen at the end of this thing. He already knows what's about to happen for us individually in our lives. At the time, the Israelites probably didn't know. They didn't know. They didn't understand why God gave them this rule. Just like them, you and I want to always know what God is doing in this season and at this time. But the best thing that we can do right now in any situation is to follow the instructions of God that he has given us and be obedient to his will for our lives. So, one reason people wash their hands in scripture was sanitation. But another reason they washed their hands was separation. Look at somebody and tell them separation. You better watch this one, watch this one, watch this one. The action or state of moving or being moved apart, disconnected, detachment, disassociation. In ancient times, washing your hands could be done symbolically to separate you from a situation or a person. Some of us might need to practice that type of washing your hands. Hello, hello. The most famous example of this, of course, is Pontius Pilate. In the Gospel of Matthew, the Pharisees dragged Jesus before the Roman governor Pilate in the middle of the night, demanding his execution. Pilate interrogated Jesus, but found no reason to execute him. He believed Jesus was innocent of any wrongdoing, but the Jewish mob, those thugs, those criminals, those Pharisees and Sadducees, and then the crowd started mocking behind them and kept saying louder and louder, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate didn't want to crucify Jesus. His wife told him, "Pilate, you need to leave that man alone. Leave him alone. That man is innocent. He hasn't done anything." Amen. And so when God speaks, we need to listen. Amen. Amen. But Pilate didn't want to, but he was afraid that a riot. Y'all get this? He was afraid that a riot was going to develop and break out. It's still happening today. People are doing things, injustice things. Afraid, because if they do the truth, riots gonna break out. They do the truth, it's not gonna go over well. So the Bible says in Matthew 27:24, so he sent for a bowl of water and washed his hands before a crowd, saying, wait one minute. Can I just put a pin in it right there? He sent for a bowl of water and washed his hands in the bowl. Not running water. Washed his hands in the bowl, trying to say, "I'm innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours." But how many of you just learned that if you wash your hand in the bowl, the residue of what you did is still on your hand? Of course, we know the rest of the story. They crucified my Lord. Pilate wanted to separate himself from the angry mob. He didn't want to share in their guilt. So he literally washed his hands in front of them as to say, "His blood is on your hands and not mine." Pilate allowed injustice to be done and tried to remove himself from the responsibility. We do find a much more positive example, however, of this type of hand washing in the book of Psalms, where David writes in Psalms 26:5-6, "I hate the gathering of those who do evil." Stay with me, church. Stay with me. "And I refuse, my God, to join in with the wicked. I wash my hands to declare my innocence. I come to your altar, O Lord." In this Psalms, David is crying out against liars, hypocrites, evildoers of all sorts. He said, I refuse to join in with the wicked. In other words, he wanted to separate and distinguish himself from wrongdoers. And he washed his hands to signify he is separating himself from those who walk in wicked ways. I think we all do well to follow David's example. David recognized wrongdoing and wickedness, and he refused to join in. He washed his hands of it, and so should we. The problem is we're often ignorant of the immoral influences that are around us. Do we really know the people we hang out with? Or they might look good on the outside. They can make it look pretty. But do we know the contents of their heart? If we want to have clean hands before the Lord, then we need to be careful about the company that we keep and the influence we allow in our lives. We need to separate ourselves from sinful influence and situations just like David did. Because 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us this, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. I didn't get a chance to put that one on the screen because God hit me with that this morning. God declared in 1 Corinthians 15:33, you might want to write that down because I don't have it on screen. 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. I don't care how good you think you are. You keep hanging around the bad person, a bad crowd, they're going to tend to pull you in their direction. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? I don't care how much you come to church. I don't care how much you sing in the choir. I don't care how much you preach. I don't care how much you dance. I don't care about none. If you're hanging around bad company, they're going to drag you down to their level. The Bible declares, don't be deceived. I don't care how nice they are to you. I don't care how much money they got. I don't care what they tell you. I don't care how much they love on you. If they bad on the inside, they're going to pull you down. Some people hate on you because they know you good. And their whole thing is to try to bring you down. They don't care nothing about you. They just trying to ruin your character. So, first, people in the Bible wash their hands for sanitation. Furthermore, they wash their hands for separation. And finally, they wash their hands for sanctification. Sanctification is the act or process of being made or declaring something or someone holy. Often throughout Scripture, washing your hands was symbolic for purifying or sanctifying your heart and mind. Can I get a witness? The symbolism goes all the way back to the construction of the temple in the days of Moses and Aaron. God instructed Moses by saying this in Exodus 30, 18 through 20. Make a bronze stand. Make a bronze wash basin with a bronze stand. Place it between the tabernacle and the altar. Amen. And fill it with water. Aaron and his sons will wash their hands and feet. They must wash with water whenever they go into the temple to appear before the Lord. And when they approach the altar to burn up their special gifts to the Lord. This ritual washing was an important step in preparing the priest's heart and mind for service in the tabernacle. Washing with water symbolized spiritual cleansing, which was necessary to enter the holies of holies. The priest had to get cleaned up. Y'all missed that one. Missed that one. Had to get cleaned up if I'm going to go into the presence of God. Got to get cleaned up physically. Got to get cleaned up mentally. Got to get cleaned up spiritually, because the priests know that once he steps in the Holy of Holies, he will be in the presence of God. And if there's anything unclean, he could be struck dead. Yeah. Somebody should have said, thank God for grace and mercy. He knew that he had to put on the garb. He had to put on the robe. He had to put the tassels with the bells on it. He had to do all that. He had to tie the rope around his waist so that when he goes into the holies of holies. And if they don't hear him walking around praying and talking to God, and if the bells stop ringing, they know God struck him dead, so they pull him out by the rope. How do we come in here? Enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. How do we come in here? Hallelujah. We got to understand that David picked up on this point in Psalms, where he wrote in Psalms 24, 3 and 4, which is our text scripture. Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Amen. James used the same imagery in the New Testament, saying, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. These passages highlight our need. The need of every human being to be made clean and holy before God. Obviously, literally washing our hands doesn't clean our hearts. Can I get a witness? Yes, sir. Washing our hands do not cleanse our heart. I don't care how long. I don't care if you're there for 2 minutes. Washing your hands with all kind of soap and water, that ain't going to cleanse your heart. Yeah. What? Take me to Matthew. God gave me this one this morning too. Amen. Take me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 15, 16 through 20. Do you still lack understanding? He asked. Don't you realize whatever goes into a man's mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated. But what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. And this defiles a person. What defiles a person? Stuff on my hands? No, that don't defile me. What defiles me? Stuff that's in my heart that comes out of my mouth. For from the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adultery, sexual immoralities, theft, false testimony, slander. These are the things that defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile a person. It's what's in the heart. So in order to be sanctified, you got to go deeper than soap and water. Shut up. God has given us a similar ritual. It's called baptism. The book of Acts tells us the conversion of Saul, better known as Paul, after Jesus blinded Saul on the road to Damascus. A believer named Ananias spoke to him about Jesus and said this in Acts 22, 16. Now, why wait any longer? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, trusting in him to save you. Look at somebody and tell them, you can't save yourself. Huh? You can't say allowing yourself to be baptized is an act of faith and trust in Jesus that visually dramatizes the invisible work of the Holy Spirit who washes away our sins. It's an outward act to show what has happened on the inside. Hello. So baptism don't save you. Can I get a witness? It's what happened on the inside that saves you. Can I get a witness? In fact, the Bible says in Titus 5, 4 through 7, when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Y'all ready for this? Yes. Not because of the righteous thing we have done. Look at somebody and tell them, ain't none of us righteous. Say it again, ain't none of us righteous. So don't think you all that and you done saved yourself and God, you got a special place in heaven. You like the disciple's mother who went to Jesus and said, Jesus, can my sons have a special seat when you make it to your kingdom on your right? God, Jesus said, no. Ain't nobody special. God don't play favoritism. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? God don't play favoritism. Amen. Not because of the righteousness things we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously, God ain't holding nothing from us. God ain't trying to cheat you out of nothing. God ain't trying to make life hard for you. Come on now. Come on now. Come on. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Can I get a witness? Somebody should shout it right there. I'm going to go home now. You see, the COVID-19 epidemic that's spreading throughout the world has claimed many lives. Can I get a witness? It goes through the air by you breathing on somebody and exchanging, or by our hands covered in invisible germs and bacteria that we need to wash away. But I discovered in the Lord dropping my spirit that there's another epidemic that has claimed more lives than all the others combined. And that epidemic is the epidemic of sin. Since the fall of man, sin has destroyed more people, broken more relationships, and darkened our lives so much that our hearts and minds are covered in sin. And it starts to spread like wildfire. It's sin on the job, sin in our homes, sin in our children, sin in our relationship, sin even in the church. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means you and me. We don't have the power to cleanse our sin away. Amen. We all are sinners. We all have fallen short. We all have done wrong. We all have done some things in the sight of God that is not right. Can I get a witness? Regardless of what people think, the only thing that can cleanse sin is the power and the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lamb of God that saves, sanitizes, sanctifies, and secures those to whom it's been applied. Sanctification starts from the inside out by the blood of Jesus Christ. I got a couple of scriptures for you. Hebrews 9 and 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. 1 Peter 1:18-19. Knowing that we were not redeemed by corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish and without spots. In the New Testament, we got to understand that there's over 1,300 references of atonement, which means 1,300 assurances that salvation can be had through the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you something. Good works, prayers, weeping bitter tears cannot save you. It's the blood of Jesus. His blood alone that has the power to redeem. The so-called sacraments cannot save you. Baptism cannot save you. Confirmation cannot save you. Communion cannot save you. Coming to church cannot save you. Giving all your money cannot save you. Being morally right cannot save you. Amen. Having an extreme unction that I'm a holy person cannot save you. There's nothing in heaven or on earth, nothing in all eternity. The only thing that can save us is the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7. In him, we have redemption through what? His blood. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? The forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. The blood of Jesus not only saved the repentance, but also condemned the defiant. For we know without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Can I get a witness? There is no forgiveness. Hebrews 9:22. and according to the law, almost all things are what?
Purified.
Purified by what? The what?
The blood.
Purified with the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Can I get a witness? Amen. In the name of Jesus, church. In the name, by the blood. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, what?
Cleanse
it do what?
Cleanse
it cleanses us from what? Some sin. A few sins. Every now and then sin. It cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Tell somebody there's power in the blood. Don't miss it. Don't get it twisted. We are saved because of the blood. Hello. We are healed because of the blood. We are cleansed because of the blood. We are in a world, but not of the world, because of the blood. Do I have anybody in here that's saved, that's washed, that's been cleansed, that's been set apart because of the blood? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? When the sickness should have killed you, the blood saved you. When all hell broke loose, when the storms of life brought you to your knees, it was the blood that set you free. Can I get a witness? You have been saved. You have been washed. You have been cleansed. You have been set apart because of the blood. It ain't because of washing your hands. It ain't because of taking no bath. It ain't because of anything that you can do. You've been saved. You've been washed. You've been cleansed. You've been set apart because of the blood. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by what? By the blood. As Christians, we are in a blood covenant relationship with God. Our relationship with God goes deeper than a piece of paper. It goes deeper than what the courts can allow on. It goes deeper than what your relationships with your family is. It goes deeper than what your relationship even with your spouse. It goes deeper. It's a blood covenant because the blood was shed for you. It's an ultimate binding agreement between two individuals. Being in a blood covenant with someone means all that I have is yours and all that you have is mine. If that be the case, God said that he is the king and he's the owner of a cattle on 1,000 hills. So if I'm in a blood relationship with God, what is his? All that I am, all that I got, all that I am, all that I'm not, belongs to God. Can I get a witness? Being in a blood covenant, we are no longer our own and cannot do whatever we choose to do. Can I get a witness? We must live sacrificed lives. Tell somebody you got a sacrifice. Tell them you got a sacrifice. When we sacrifice, then like God told Moses in Exodus 12:13, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will do your house no harm. I do your family no harm. Charles Spurgeon did it like this. He said, God's people are always safe, but God's people are only safe through the blood. because he sees the blood mark on our brow. They are bought with a precious price of the blood of Christ. Nothing can hurt them because the blood is upon them. Somebody should have praised God right there. Someone has said that the true saints of God lives under the umbrella of the divine blood of Jesus and are sheltered from every storm for eternity. And then I saw this in the book of the Word of God. Revelation, I'm going to the end of the book now. I'm going to the end. I saw this in the book of Revelation, Brother Percy. I saw this in the book of Revelation. And I said to him, sir, you know? So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's real sanitizing. How can you take red blood, wash it in your robe, and your robe come out white? That's real sanitized. That's better than Clorox. There's no earthly soap or hand sanitizer strong enough to wash away our sins. The only thing that cleanses our hearts and make us right again with God is the blood of Jesus. The blood, the songwriter said, the blood that Jesus shed for me. Where was it? Way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. He said it will never, 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 never lose its power. How bad is the blood? The blood is bad. It reaches, shut up, to the highest mountain. And I don't care how low you go, it flows to the low, lowest valley. What is it? The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never, never, never lose its power. Another songwriter picked it up and said this: what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, how precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other font I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Another songwriter said, there is a fountain filled with blood. Oh, Jesus. Drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners, that's you, and me. And sinners plunged beneath that flood and lose all their guilty stains. So as we humbly come to Jesus in faith and surrender to the waters of baptism, Christ lowers you into the river of his spirit until every inch of you is covered from head to foot. That's why when we baptize, we don't sprinkle nobody. We fully submerge and bring you back up. It's a symbol of his death, burial, and resurrection. And the reason why we need to wash our hands today is spiritually to sanitize, to separate, and most importantly, to be sanctified. As this pandemic continued to spread, it caused many of us to realize just how unclean our hands really are and how important it is for us to wash them. Somebody showed me the other day they had on gloves. And after going through a day, showed me what those gloves looked like. They were filthy from point to point. Each finger, each palm had just dirt all over them just by what they did during the day. As it continued to spread, we realized the importance that we must stay clean. Wear your mask. Keep your hands clean. It invisibly spread to every living person and it leads to death. Hello. But sin also leads to death. And it's 100% death rate for those who are untreated. But thankfully, there's a cure. We have a cure for sin. We have an antidote. We have an antivirus. We have a solution. We have a cure. The blood of Jesus. Can I get a witness? The blood of Jesus can wash our sins away, giving us clean hands, a pure heart, and the best of all, eternal life. If you haven't had your sins washed away, I want to encourage you to do it today. Put your faith in Jesus. Because whether you live through this pandemic or not, Jesus can take you from this earth's sorrows into heaven's glory. The word for anybody who passed is, were they saved by the blood? Because the pandemic can only take you from this world, but the blood can take you through eternity. That's what's more important, that you have the blood, that you've been saved, washed, cleansed, set apart because of the blood. Can I get a witness? Do I have anybody in here? Anybody in here? Because of the blood. Because of the blood, you can say that you're saved. Saved, washed, cleansed, set apart. Saved, washed, cleansed, set apart. Saved, washed, cleansed, set apart because of the blood. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you with humble hearts, recognize that apart from you, we're all unclean. We pray that each one of us, hearing this word, will follow the example we've seen today in scriptures. May we wash our hands and thereby help prevent the spread of this dangerous virus of sin. May we resolve to avoid sin as best we can. But most importantly, may all of our sins be washed away by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and his blood. We confess our sins. And you'll be faithful and just to forgive us. And then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do it now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen. Give the Lord a praise in this place. Yeah, God. We got to realize that because of the blood, Jesus made a way for us to have eternal life. If you're here today or you're at home,